literally or virtually, to present the message from the Almighty God. I do appreciate and the fact that there are some who are far away, very far, back in Jamaica, in other states, who are tuning in, and we are always honored to have you in our presence as we worship God in spirit and in truth. It's a beautiful day, and I know for the next couple of days the weather will be mild and it will get much cooler. So let us enjoy the weather that we have, and I'm speaking for those who are in the region which I'm presently in. Before we begin, as usual, let us seek God's help as we go through the rest of our worship service. Father in heaven, there's nothing greater for man to do than to worship and to lift up your name. Yes, Father, oftentimes we are distracted by so many things, even in our own personal lives. But thank you for your word that reminds us that without your word, Father, there's no lamp unto our feet and there's no light unto our path. So, Father, for this lesson, I pray that every heart, including mine, will be encouraged, will be challenged, and that, Father, we will not be just hearers of the word, as Brother Norman prayed, but, Father, we'll be doers of it. So, Father, bless me and lead me as I be merely a spokesperson for you at this time. It's in our Son's name I pray. Amen. What is it that really brings you pleasure? I'm not talking to just some of us, because it's a question that is applicable to every single person. Because every single person seeks pleasure and finds pleasure in various things. It can be as simple as observing the sunset. Now, some of us may see that as boring, but there are others who find that pleasurable. It may be far more thrill-seeking, like skydiving or bungee jumping. There are some who find pleasure in spending thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes millions, in purchasing memorabilia. I read recently where Michael Jordan's sneakers that he played in was sold for $615,000. And if you saw the sneakers, you will see that they're well worn, already stripping. Michael Jackson's gloves were sold for $350,000. The jacket that he wore when he performed, $225,000. The fact of the matter is that there are people who find spending money, millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, buying these things as pleasurable. There are others who find pleasure in more risky activities. You know, in this time of COVID-19, with all the warnings and the fact that over 200,000 have died in the United States alone, there are those who will still find pleasure in going to parties, where most, if not everybody, is without a mask, but they just can't avoid it. They still go and risk themselves being infected by the virus. But almost everything in life is about satisfying or seeking pleasure. As a matter of fact, all sin can find its root in the love of pleasure. And therefore, we must all be on our guard. So for the next few minutes this morning, I want to speak to us on the subject, a pleasure-driven life. A pleasure-driven life. I want to look at 3 points that hopefully will bolster and will convey my message as clearly as I'd like for it to be presented to you. First of all, each of us is wired, is created to seek pleasure. That's how God made us. In other words, this natural urge was created by none other than God, and therefore it is not sinful in and of itself to seek pleasure. Or else, you know, going to sports games would be wrong, would be sinful. Playing games would be wrong. Getting together with family and friends, Thanksgiving and so on. All these things that we find pleasure in would be wrong. The dictionary, the Oxford Concise Dictionary, tells us that pleasure is a feeling of happy satisfaction and enjoyment derived from some activity or event. And when you check the scriptures, especially the New Testament, there are 6 different Greek words alone for pleasure. 6 different Greek words. Sometimes the words are used negatively, and sometimes they are used positively. So for example, sometimes the word pleasure in the Bible will mean self-indulgence, will mean living in luxury. But sometimes it is used positively in terms of taking delight in serving God, or God takes pleasure in blessing his people. So the word is used in various ways in the scriptures. But I want us to understand this morning that man himself was made to find pleasure in God's creation. Yes, God made him of such. In Genesis chapter 2, for example, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, and especially verses 8 and 9, listen what the Bible says regarding God's creation. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, mm-hmm. and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
So the trees in the garden were pleasant to the eyes. And that means that man would find these trees pleasurable. That's how Adam was wired. There was nothing unusual about Adam finding these things pleasurable. That's how God had created these trees in the Garden of Eden. So man was wired to find pleasure in God's creation. In chapter 2, again, of Genesis, and verse 18, it tells us that man would find pleasure in something else or in someone else. Read for me, verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him."
So therefore, God wired man, God created man, so that he would find pleasure in his companion or in companionship. It does. So much so that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, listen what God says to Eve, Adam's wife.
"Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to be thy husband. And he shall rule over thee."
Did you notice that? "And your desire shall be for your husband." This is not something that Eve would have made up or put in herself. This is how God made her. And God said that your desire shall be for your husband. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying that we were created to seek pleasure because that's how God made us. We are pleasure driven. We are a pleasure driven creation. And therefore it must not be unusual when one seeks pleasure. But having said that, having established the fact that we are wired by God to seek pleasure, it leads me to my second point, and that is the devil has, however, distorted our understanding of pleasure. The devil has done that. Our pleasure-seeking life has been distorted to the extent that our pleasure now is redirected and misdirected. We're seeking pleasure in the wrong direction, so to speak. And this is what the devil has done. He has warped, he has twisted, he has distorted our understanding of what real pleasure is. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6, listen what the Bible says. Genesis 3 verse 6.
"Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and it shall rule over thee."
And I want to go back to verse 6, my brother.
"And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, mm-hmm. and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat.
So of this particular tree, God had clearly warned, of every tree you can eat, but this tree you must not touch. However, the devil came on the scene and twisted Eve's understanding to the extent that that which was wrong became not so wrong anymore. It became okay, and so the Bible says that she ate of that tree that she was forbidden, including her husband, not to eat thereof. Who did this? Well, who instigated this? While Eve was at fault, and then Adam, of course, the fact of the matter is that the devil came on the scene, so to speak, and distorted her understanding. And I'm saying that we are seeking pleasure, but the problem is that the devil has distorted our understanding as to what real pleasure is all about. And perhaps no one else knows more about a pleasure-driven life, a pleasure-seeking life, than the man we know as King Solomon. As King Solomon. The passage that Brother Davis read for us back in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. You know, he began by saying, I'm going to test myself. I'm going to put myself to the test when it comes to pleasure. My brother wanted to pick up at verse 4 and continue reading from there.
I made me great works.
Mm-hmm.
I built me houses.
Mm-hmm.
I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits.
Yes.
I made me pools of water.
Mm-hmm.
To water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me.
Okay, but Brother Taylor, so far, what he's doing, he's giving us a list of the things that he built, that he acquired so as to find pleasure. Remember, he's putting himself to the test. So he's giving us an exhaustive list. Drop down to verse 10 of that same chapter.
And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them.
Mm-hmm.
I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor.
So he said, whatever my eyes desired, I did not deny myself of those things. Now when you're rich, you can speak like that. So Solomon said, whatever was this desire was, whatever was pleasurable, then I sought after it and I acquired it. But then, having done all of that, listen what he says in verse 11.
Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought.
Yes.
And on the labor that I had labored to do.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no profit under the sun.
So what he's saying is that I really have found out that these things could not give me lasting pleasure. I found out that these things were just vanity. And he says that there was no profit under the sun. At the end of the day, these things don't make you better. I think Jesus Christ on one occasion did say that a man's life is not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. In other words, a man is not judged by the things that he has, but by who he is and the God that he's serving. And Solomon found that out. So Solomon exhausted all these things. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he came to one huge conclusion. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and verse 13. Listen what he concluded.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
So he found out that you can acquire as much as you want. You can build as much as you want. Man will never be satisfied because we were never wired and created to be satisfied by earthly things. And so he said, you know what? I have come to one conclusion. And that is our purpose in life is to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is our duty. That was his conclusion. So the point I'm making, brethren, is that our pleasure-seeking life oftentimes has been misdirected, has been ill-directed because the devil has distorted our understanding as to what is really important to bring us pleasure in this life. Job, in the book of Job chapter 1 verse 21, Job lost almost everything except his life and his wife. You can almost say that he lost his wife because she said, why don't you curse God and die? But in a very short period of time, Job lost everything. And listen to what Job said in verse 21 of Job chapter 1.
and said, naked came out of my mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
and naked shall I return thither.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Naked I came from my mother's womb. And it doesn't matter what I do, naked I shall depart. As I've often said, my friend, I've never seen a hearse going to the cemetery with a U-Haul attached to it. Everything that you have acquired, someone else is going to get it. So therefore, at the end of the day, my friend, we have to remind ourselves that earthly pleasures are really just that, just for the earth. We're going to leave them all behind. You know, we're living in the last days. The Bible tells us that. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible tells us about certain things that will happen in the last days. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, listen to what the Bible says. Well, pick up at verse 1 for me, my brother.
This know also,
mm-hmm.
that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Mm-hmm.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves,
mm-hmm.
covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy.
Read verse 4 for me.
Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
So the Bible says that they'll be lovers of themselves in verse 2, and verse 4 says that they'll be lovers of pleasures. So what is happening today is by no means surprising, because the Bible did prophesy that in these last days men would become captives of pleasure. They'll be imprisoned mentally, so to speak, as to what is most important to them. And so when our lives, brethren and friends, when our lives are consumed by the constant pursuit of pleasure in this life, the end result will be predictable. Let me run that by you again. When our lives are consumed, when what matters to you more than anything else is material things, is money, and all these things, the end is not going to be good. No, I'm not making this stuff up. Because in Mark chapter 8, in Mark the 8th chapter and verse 36, Jesus Christ gave a very serious warning, and we would do well to heed this particular warning from Jesus Christ himself. So in Mark the 8th chapter and in verse 36, look at what Jesus Christ says.
For what shall it profit a man,
mm-hmm.
if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
What shall it profit a man? So for those of us who are seeking to have more money, for those of us who are seeking to have more material things, for those of us who believe that what is most important is good health, Jesus Christ tells us that what will it profit you if you get all these things and you end up losing your soul? Oh, this is important, brethren. This is very important. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11th chapter, Moses knew that sin itself would be so destructive, that sin would be pleasurable and it would entice him. He knew that the end result would not be good. So in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, listen what the writer says of Moses.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God,
mm-hmm.
than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
So Moses decided not to go back and live in Pharaoh's house, where there was all the luxury, all the riches that he would have enjoyed. He said, no. He'd rather be with God's people rather than to be in Pharaoh's house and enjoy what the Bible says, the passing pleasures of sin. You know, the Revised Standard Version renders it the fleeting pleasures of sin. In other words, it's only for a moment, and then it passes away. You know, it's like a drug addict. A drug addict, he gets high. He gets very high for a short period, and then his life gets very low after that. What a sad commentary on many of those who are relying on the things of this world to find the pleasure. How can we forget the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, who the Bible says that, you know, asked for his inheritance, and the father gave him his inheritance before he was supposed to get it. And the Bible tells us that he went and he spent it on riotous living, having many friends and enjoyed himself. From that high, he came to a very low period in his life, where he ended up feeding pigs. And even desiring the food that he was feeding the pigs with. In other words, the pleasures of this life, when you are consumed by the things of this world, you are going to go from riches, spiritually speaking, to rags. Let us not forget that. So dangerous are the pleasures of this world that Jesus tells us that it is going to hinder us, in Luke chapter 8, it is going to hinder us from being faithful to God. And this is a warning to every Christian. To every Christian. My brother, my sister, I want you to know that yes, money is important. Yes, material things are important, but these are just means to an end. Never let these things dictate how you live your life as a Christian. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus Christ began to explain the parable of the sower. And look at this particular seed. In verse 14, it says what?
And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
He's saying that there are many who have heard the word. Yes, they heard it. Yes, they responded to it. But somewhere along the line, they became more captivated by the cares of this world, by the riches and the pleasures of this world, so that they become unfruitful. And the question you and I must ask is, am I more concerned about things physical than the things that are spiritual? What matters to me most in this life? What is it that really brings me pleasure in this life? Is it a promotion? Is it higher education? What is it that I would sacrifice my life for? What is it? And here we're finding Jesus Christ telling us that it can cause us to be unfruitful as Christians. Well, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 10, there was a brother in the church who had suffered that very same fate. There was a brother in the church in 2 Timothy chapter 4 who, yes, was faithful at one point. He was a companion of Paul, but then he became unfaithful. In verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says what?
For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia.
So Demas was a companion of Paul. Paul had been on several missionary journeys. And at one point, Demas was a companion of Paul. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Did you know that right now, there are many used to be Christians. There are many who used to be faithful. But because of their love for the world, they have backslidden. They have given up the faith, because that is what seeking pleasure will do. The world will entice you. And there's a song that we sometimes sing. The world has nothing left to give. It has no new, no pure delight. This is a very important point to make, brethren. And it leads me to my third and final point today. God wants us to find the pleasure. Let us be clear. God wants you to find pleasure. He does. But the question you may ask is, how on earth is that possible when I am surrounded by sinful pleasures? How can I find the things that God wants me to find pleasure in? In the midst of so much sinful pleasures. Well, you know, by knowing what God is offering, and that God is offering a better alternative. In other words, knowledge is key here. Knowledge is key. Yes, we are being held captives by the world's pleasures, and we can only be freed by knowing what God is offering. In John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So knowledge is key. You know, back in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, God says, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And my friend, if you were to understand what is it that God is offering to us, then you'd never allow yourself to be lured and enticed by the pleasures of sin. In Psalm 16, in Psalm the 16th chapter, a very beautiful verse. You might want to mark this verse down in your Bible. But in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Listen what the psalmist says. Psalm 16, verse 11.
Thou wilt show me the path of life.
Yes.
In thy presence is fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm.
At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence, he says, he goes on to say, there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. God provides pleasures for his people. He wired us to seek pleasure, but he wired us to seek pleasure in the pleasures that he has provided for us. In Job chapter 36, and verse 11, Job himself, having been through much in his life, hear what the Bible says, where his friend was speaking. And listen to what it says in verse 11 of chapter 36.
If they obey and serve him,
mm-hmm.
they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure.
If they obey him, obey God and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and in pleasures. Pleasures that God himself has provided. This is important, brethren. So the knowledge, this knowledge that we're talking about, comes through when we read the scriptures. When we open God's word, we can see those things that we must meditate upon, that we must read, and we must inculcate into our minds through the help of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible tells us that we must not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So every time we read God's word, the Holy Spirit enables us to have our minds renewed, recreated, when we read the scriptures. So therefore, godly pleasure, the pleasure that God wants us to find, is this. It comes from reading the scriptures. When the Christian understands what God has provided, he finds pleasure in reading the word of God. Not like some who see it as a burden. The faithful child of God finds pleasure in reading God's word. I think the psalmist did say in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, and in his law, he meditates day and night. In other words, he finds it such a joy that on a daily basis, he meditates on God's word. That is where true pleasure comes. But it also comes when the Christian can worship God. Every time we come together to worship God, even virtually as we're doing now, it's a pleasurable activity. We find pleasure in singing together, in praying together, in studying together, in giving together. We find pleasure in worshiping God. In Psalm 34, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And he says, I will magnify the Lord, he tells us. It's important for us to understand that. We find pleasure, brethren, in forgiving each other. That when a brother or sister has sinned, we don't find it a burden to forgive him. We find it pleasurable to forgive him. Because it's one of the great blessings provided to us by the Almighty God. In the world, you may be hammered in the ground, but in the church, you are lifted up so that you can be stronger and better from there on. We find it a pleasure helping each other. That when a brother or sister is overtaken in sin, we don't ignore him, we help him. And Paul did say that we must bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, these are the things that we find pleasure in. We find pleasure in showing love to one another. In other words, no Christian should love another Christian merely because he speaks like him, he looks like him, he acts like him. We love each other because we are all a part of that one family called the church. We find pleasure in speaking well of each other. We don't malign each other. We don't speak evil of each other. We speak well of each other and we encourage each other because these are the things that God wants us to find pleasure in doing. And my friend? It brings the Lord pleasure. According to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it brings the Lord pleasure to know that we now are a part of his son's church. Did you know that? Yes, you have messed up. Yes, you and I have done many things that are wrong. But having obeyed the gospel, the Lord is pleased that we are now a part of his son's church. Read verse 5 for me of Ephesians chapter 1.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
According to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, we have been adopted into the family. According to the good pleasure of the Almighty God's will. Nothing pleases the Lord more than for a sinner to respond to the good news of salvation. Do you recall when that lost sheep was found? Do you remember what was the response of heaven when he found the lost sheep? The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoiced over one sinner who repents. And so it is with you, my friend. If you're not a member of the body of Christ today, I want you to know that God finds it pleasurable. God wants you to find pleasure in becoming a part of the church that his son Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. Every one of us as Christians, we rejoice because we are privileged to be called God's children. I think in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. What a wonderful privilege that is. Notwithstanding what we have done, notwithstanding the mess that we have created, God says, I have redeemed you, and that redemption is still continuing. In other words, God is still working on you. Find pleasure in serving God, because that's how we have been wired. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're willing to not only believe this message that you have heard, but repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can begin that journey that is a pleasure-driven life, as how God would have you to find pleasure. But if you refuse, then the Bible tells us that the end result of your life is going to be hard. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, why not respond at this time? Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the privilege you have given me to convey your message to all of us. Help us to see, Father, that at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, that we don't have to rely on this world to give us what is really, really pleasurable. So many lives have been messed up and have been destroyed because of what the world is offering. But help us, Father, to recognize that real pleasure are the divine things that you have made available to every Christian. You did say that all things have been provided to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And help us, Father, to recognize that the devil is always lurking so as to twist and distort our understanding as to what really should bring us pleasure. Thank you, God, for your word. And thank you, God, for reminding us as to what really is most pleasurable in your sight. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.